This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dorn will be back tomorrow. Adam will be back on Wednesday. Jeff Hathorn, Mark Caboli here with you. Fan Hotline, which Kathy was on, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Mark, Pirates they're still in the wild card race. They're still in the playoff race. However, 4.5 back of the Braves, Cardinals, and Padres, with Arizona, the Mets, and Giants in front of them, the Reds and Nationals a half game behind them, and the Cubs a game behind them. So Ben Cherington said, especially right now with everybody getting ready for the draft, it's kind of a slow time trade deadline-wise, that there isn't a lot of talk. And even if there is, don't anticipate them to go out and make a major move or do anything that it's going to be internally where the Pirates improve offensively. So who is a player or players that you think could move the needle for the Pirates offensively?
Well, for them to make the playoffs, I mean, they need obviously offense, right? So there's two guys on the team who are just screaming that they need more offense. First of all, Key Brian Hayes. It's very difficult to put him in a category of him having a bad season, in my opinion, because of the back, right? How healthy is he? I don't know, but he needs to be that Hayes of what, August and September last year. He shows flashes of it. I don't know if he's able to do that.
Dude, it's August. He had 320.
Yes, he was unbelievable. He was unbelievable. But they need that. You can go out and trade for whoever you want. First of all, if you're thinking that this team is only one bat away from making the playoff run or a legitimate playoff run, You're fooling yourself. They need more than that. They might need a bat. They might need an outfielder, which obviously I think they do, a bat in the outfield. But they need some of their stars to step up. Hayes is number one. But he's number two. Number one, in my opinion, is O'Neill Cruz. The guy, he has a full season under his belt now, right? 170-some-odd games, 671 career bats, right? Career bats.
And he's got 80 games since his injury.
This is a year preseason in March. We were looking at this guy 40, 45 home runs, maybe a 40-40 guy, right? A guy that's not going to be batting 240. And it's not only that, there's stats for everything in baseball, right? I would like to know when some of his bigger games have come in meaningless situations. You know what I'm saying? Up 8-1 in the seventh, and he hits a 3-run homer. Down 8-1 in the eighth inning and hits a 2-run homer. He needs to be more clutch. He needs to be more consistent. And I think that grace period of saying, he's still young. He's coming back from that ankle injury last year. I think that's past us. he needs to become the person that we all assumed he was going to be in March right now for this team to go. And that's why I agree with Cherington. It has to come internally, and I think it starts with him.
Same slip. Listen,
did I say it too?
Yeah, you did.
Eternally.
Listen, whatever. I'm not going to get too worked up in batting averages with O'Neill Cruz. He's not Aaron Judge. He's not going to hit for power and RBIs and batting average. There's like he's one of one almost. He's shown some flashes. I think the thing for me with O'Neill Cruz is just put him in the lineup every day. I know he doesn't hit lefties well. He's had two homers against lefties this month. Like, I think he's the player like Brian Reynolds that I don't care who's on the mound. Yeah. I want him out there.
And another thing is, too, is I don't like to shuffle into the lineup sometimes third, fourth, seventh, whatever it is. I mean, to me, I think a guy needs to be put in a spot. If it's first, if it's third, if it's fourth, if it's fifth, let him be in that position, regardless of lefty, righty, regardless of splits, let him own that spot. But he has to turn it up for this team to be legitimate. You're not going to get a O'Neill Cruz talent out there for a, you know, a Tamar John, whoever you might trade to go. There's nobody out there is going to do that for you. This is the guy that's going to have to turn it up and be that guy that produces. Like, look at yesterday. They brought him in, what, pinch hitter in the sixth, had an opportunity, struck out.
In the ninth, to do too much.
And in the ninth, I know that he just blown the lead. He comes out and looks foolish on like three or four pitches and gets struck out by Diaz. I mean, those are times you want to see him. You want to see him get the ball in play, hit a gap, be that clutch type of guy. I think, of course, he's very young, but I think he, if you want to be there in October, that's the guy that's going to have to take it up a notch.
I think he and Telez at this point need to be in the lineup. A guy who's another one of those key players who I thought at the beginning of the year, like we did the superlatives predictions, and I said Sawinski would have the most home runs on the team. Mm. That's not going to happen.
I would not be shocked if he goes on a run here.
But he is swinging it better.
This whole team does that. I mean, you look at him. McCutchen had a great month. Then all of a sudden he slides off a little bit. You could go down the lineup with everybody. Connor Joe was once batting 380. Taylor was once batting 390. Triolo, Gonzalez, all of them play well. I mean, it goes back and forth. Telez, back and forth. You need more consistency out of the lineup. So I wouldn't be shocked if Sawinski, trust me, they're giving him multiple opportunities here. Probably more opportunities than he deserves right now. I mean, we're talking 180 with seven home runs. I mean, he probably shouldn't be thrown out there as much as he does, but you don't have much option. I think he's the next one that's going to step up, but you need multiple guys hitting on all cylinders at the same time. I can't have, you know, only two hitting and all of a sudden Telez batting, you know, going 0 for 30. You know, I can't have that.
It was because of the injury that, I mean, they needed an outfielder because they had the injury and they had Taylor go on paternity leave, I think, a couple of weeks ago. So they had to call him back up. He wasn't ready to come back up. But he has seemingly worked through some of the issues because you watch his at-bats now. Like, he had a home run on Friday. On Saturday, hit the ball into the notch where anywhere else in the ballpark, it's a home run. Like, he's starting to make that type of contact again. But, you know, you went into the season, you kind of assumed Sawinski was going to have that, you know, a 25, 30 home run year. And you mentioned O'Neill Cruz. I think more of where this team fail was, go ahead.
I was going to say anything from the catcher would help. Well, I guess Bart's okay.
I mean, the Andy Rodriguez injury was really kind of threw everything off in the offseason. Yeah. But where the Pirates could have done better for themselves, and listen, Rowdy's come on, and credit to him. I mean, he's getting booed at home. It seemed like the wheels had just fallen off, and he rebounded. He's now batting like 240 when he was down at 170, which is a major climb a couple of months into the season. And good on him for, you know, now being chanted at home and being some kind of hero at home. But they didn't do enough in the offseason.
No.
have this team ready to compete this year.
That's why the trade deadline coming up, I would be a little bit hesitant, because I would much rather see them go to the offseason and fill legitimate holes with legitimate players. Do that, then make that run next year with a full roster. Right now, there's just too many holes right now that he did not. He tried to patch with what you know. I don't even know why he tried to patch with scotch tape, right, in the offseason. It didn't work out. For the most part, it did not work out. Get some legitimate players in here. Make that run next year rather than dumping a potential good player this year where you might or might not get in there. I think there it's always been, and you've been around the team more than me, Jeff. I think it's always been 2025 in my eyes. That they thought that would be the year. Okay, let's do this.
I don't know. Well, they didn't know what to expect of when Skeens was going to be get called up. Who expected this from Jared Jones? I mean, Jared Jones always had the arm, and I mean, he was the best arm in the system until Paul Skeens. But he had some inconsistencies at times. There were issues with walks that just didn't happen. I mean, again, who saw that? You kind of hope Bailey Falter would be a pitcher after that first game on Miami. Who thought, okay, I'm glad Bailey Falter's in our rotation. You brought in a couple of veteran lefties to kind of fill out. And listen, if you're bringing in guys like Perez and Gonzalez's 4 or 5 guys, I'm okay with that. But they just – I don't think they anticipated they would get the pitching that they got this year. And I agree
with
you.
That was the issue. You remember that.
This is more like 2012 than 2013.
You remember February, March, were like, who's going to be pitching for this team? Who's pitching? Because Jones did not emerge yet. Skeens, was he going to stay into the minors or not? Who else do you really have? And that was the biggest issue. Who knew, you know, 5-6 months later, it's the other way around. Like, okay, this pitching staff's pretty good. I worry about Jared Jones now having that lost season. Did so well right so far, and this just sets him back. And before you know it, you look at the stats, and they're pretty much the same now as they were at the end of the year.
What is Jared Jones' injury? Has that altered your opinion as to why you're saying no real moves at the trade deadline?
No, I just don't. First of all, there's 9 teams within 6 games of 2 wild card spots. There's going to be a lot that has to. Okay, they're still available. They're still able to get to the playoffs easily because, I mean, just the numbers show that. But you still have to maneuver around a lot of teams to be able to get there. And I just don't think they have the overall roster and talent to do that right now. Address it in the offseason where you can go out and spend that $30, $35, $40 million that you spent this year with legitimate ball players.
I think there is a time for them to empty the farm system, to make those trades of top prospects for someone that could help now. Being 4.5 games out without Jared Jones, not knowing if Paul Skeens can finish the year because of the workload limit that you're going to put on him, with other questions in the lineup, plus the fact that you have to already leap not only the 3 teams that are locked into the wild card right now, but the Diamondbacks, Mets, and Cardinals, all with pretty decent rosters. The Mets with a ton of money spent in theirs. The Giants have a good team. And then you've got Cincinnati, Washington, and Chicago right on your heels. Yeah, you're 4.5 back, but because of the number of teams that you're competing against,
plus the next 14 games,
I don't think this is the time to do it.
The next 14 games, they got one with the Mets, then they got Cardinals, Brewers.
Well, so you're at the Brewers.
Then you're at the trade deadline, right?
After today's game against the Mets, 12:35 over on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA, you got the Brewers for 3 on the road.
At Milwaukee.
At a White Sox team that's 40 games under 500. Yes. And that's not an exaggeration. They're 40 games under 500 before the All-Star break. Like, what happened to the White Sox?
They turned into the A's.
They're horrid. But then you go to then you have the Phillies here. Then you have the Cardinals here. Then you go to Arizona, the aforementioned Diamondbacks. Then you go to the Astros, another team that obviously has a lot of talent that's really had a hot month or so, and they're working their way back into the playoff chase. If you make a run against that competition, then maybe I'll change my mind come July 30th.
Yeah, because, you know, if you're still 4-5, if you tread water in those 14 games, and you're still 4 to 5 to 6 games out of a wild card spot with 2 months left, that's a tough task. And at that point, that decision might be made for Charrington and company over there that's like, hey, we're just holding on to this and let's just move on and deal with it after next year. But on the flip side, if they win 10 of 14 games and within a couple, then you can go out there and make a real run at it. But I still think in the back of their minds, they're thinking 2025 is where we're going to be a legit contender here. And depends on how the offseason would go. And if it's some people they can get in here, I don't see that as a crazy statement.
Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We come back, we'll hear from Brian Reynolds, and we'll talk about Paul Skeens, the all-star, and get back to where he should he start. We'll check our fan Twitter poll and see where the voting lies. Jeff Hathorn, Mark Caboli from The Athletic, and for Adam Crowley and Doran Dickerson on this Monday morning with the Buccos. 11:40 airtime over on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDK. You're listening to 93.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Having the fan. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. You know who's going to be joining us on that Fan Hotline next hour? Kevin Gorman.
Gorman the Owl.
From the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, who covers the Pittsburgh Pirates. We'll talk to him. Paul Skeens, first ever to go from draft to All-Star game. Should Skeens start in the All-Star game? You can vote on the Fan Morning Show poll on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. Right now, absolutely is 77.8% and maybe not is 22.2%. You can vote on the Fan Morning Show Twitter poll or X poll at X right now. And at 93.7, the Fan. Of course, he's not the only Pirates All-Star. Would you have voted, Mitch, before we get to Brian Reynolds, you think Keller's deserving?
Oh, he's deserving. I think he is. I think he's having a good year, 9 wins with 3.5 ERA. But if I'm choosing between one or the other, you have to go with Skeens, but I think Keller's deserving him. However, I mean, National League pitchers aren't a bunch of schlubs either. I mean, wouldn't it be great if Glasnow gets the start instead of Skeens?
No, it would not be great if Glasnow gets the start instead of Skeens. No, it would not be great if that indeed happened. But good for him. I mean, he went through a lot. What a resurgence in his career. I mean, he was kind of left for whether or not this guy would ever pitch in the majors after he left, or at one point when he was with the Pirates, he gets traded to the Rays, and the Rays' magic works. He becomes this stud pitcher, and then he signs that monster contract with the Dodgers. And yeah, he might start the All-Star game.
Weren't the Pirates maybe 5-6 years ago interested in Chris Sale? Wasn't there a time when they were talking about
him? So interested and what fans, what's thrown out there.
I use the term I hate when people talk about the Steelers. Interested.
Every team is interested in Chris Sale, you know. But yeah, what his thing is ridiculous. It's like 7-1 strikeouts to walks. I mean, he's had a really good year. He pitched here earlier this year.
Who else has an opportunity to start other than Skeens? Who would you?
Ranger Suarez.
It could be Glasnow.
Yeah, it could be Sale. It could be Suarez. I mean,
which one?
The starter. I don't think they're going to be bullpenning. Although, I mean, isn't the All-Star game the ultimate bullpenning game?
Yeah, shouldn't it? Right? Wouldn't it be great if they did with the opener?
Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection. Brian Reynolds is an All-Star for the second time. 101 hits, 19 doubles, 3 triples, 16 homers, 54 driven in. 281 is the average. The on-base is 344, and the OPS is 828. And it's really because, I mean, his numbers since June 1st are top 5 in pretty much every category in the league. He got hot at the right time, Mark.
Yes, I mean, he needed to. I mean, he's a very consistent, solid ball player. I think he starts out every season slow. So you knew it was going to come around, but I think this might have been, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, his most dominant stretch of his career, really. I mean, what was his hitting streak get to?
His hitting streak was 25.
25, 26. Plus he's knocking in runs. I mean, I always felt that Brian Reynolds was the marquee player on this team, even with the Cruises and the other guys coming up in the run. I always thought he was a solid guy, and I just love that he just plays every single game too.
And Brian Reynolds is a bit understated. Let's hear what Brian Reynolds had to say after he found out he would be an All-Star for a second time.
Brian, congratulations. How did you get the news?
Shelton always gets us all together and does a little team meeting before the game starts, so he let us know during that.
This is number 2 for you. You know, previous players have kind of said how, you know, the second one means a little bit more, maybe just because it wasn't a one-time thing. You know, you belong in this conversation. Do you feel that way? Is this any more special than the first?
I wouldn't say it's any more special. You know, I think it means it's a little different. Just feels a little different, and you know, when we get there and go through it all, I'll have more of an answer for that. But yeah, it's been a few years since the last one, so it's nice to, you know I can still do it.
How important was it to you? Because you said you felt like you belonged, like you felt you deserved it.
Yeah, I think it was one of my goals. Kind of an unsaid, unwritten goal. Just because, you know, if you do that, you're probably having a good year. You're probably helping the team, so.
Do you take pride in that, what you've put forth the first half? Like you said, I mean, not an unwritten goal, but what you've done to help this team, being a constant in the lineup.
Yeah, I'm pretty, feel pretty good about what I've been able to do, you know, the last month and a half especially. You know, started off a little cold and was able to respond, so, yeah.
Why is it important to you that you play every day? I mean, even if you weren't in the field, you were a DH.
I just think it's something that, it's kind of who I am. It's kind of always how I've been. I just feel like that's kind of how it should be, and, you know, like, if I'm healthy, might as well go.
Kind of your favorite part of that first experience, what did you kind of take away from it?
You know,
we go to the All-Star game the first time.
Oh, man. It's kind of a blur. Kind of runs all together. You know, what I'm looking forward to this time, though, is getting my boys out on the field for the Home Run Derby, because we kind of botched that last time, didn't do that. So that was kind of one of the bigger reasons I wanted to go.
Brian, making the trip with Paul, he's got 2.5 months in the big leagues. What would your reaction, how would you have handled you going 2.5 months into your big league career? Would that have been crazy?
I mean, yeah, it's really impressive, but, you know, he obviously deserves it. He's been one of the best pitchers in baseball since he got here. So, you know, I think it's obviously the right call.
Brian Reynolds, always understated. And willing to push attention to somebody else, Brian Reynolds.
Yeah, we don't like that in the media.
No, I appreciate that as a man. I think it's cool that he wants to get his two kids out there.
Oh, that's really cool. I mean, that's awesome. I don't know what happened last time, what he was referring to, but yeah, that's very unusual in today's sporting world to have two low-key stars like they do in Reynolds and Skeens. You know, very monotone, very team-oriented, very, you know, don't look at me type of situation. I mean, it's refreshing if you're a baseball fan, as a media guy, you're like, come on, man, give me something. But I can respect that.
Well, speaking of, you know, a bunch of guys that are just all team first, the Steelers start camp in a couple of weeks, as you're aware. And since we have Mark here, Mark Caboli from The Athletic covers the Steelers. Let's compare our top 10 Steelers off-season stories between the two of us as we continue. Then we'll get back into some more Pirates talk. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. It's Fan Morning Show here on 93.7 The Fan. Coming up at the top of the hour on The Fan Morning Show, Neil Walker will join us.
Neil and Gorman.
He may have some Steelers questions for you.
He can have some Steelers questions, but I might not have the answers he wants to hear.
And a really cool story, really special pit player who did some amazing things. Bobby Greer passed away. Well, we're going to recount his story and what he did. But right now, Steelers segment. And we've each come up with our top 10 Steelers offseason stories.
Okay, this is not like future. It was
no,
as
this
of
is
right
like
now.
Things that happened in the offseason that, you know, it impacts this year that may be surprising. For me, it's more like the surprising, impactful offseason
stories.
Top
10.
Yes.
Are we going to go 10-10 or are we just going to me name yours and you name yours?
I don't know. Maybe I'll name mine. And okay. Then you name yours, and then we'll compare.
Okay. I got mine listed here, so I'm just going to go straight with it.
I'll start number 10, Bill Hillgrove retiring.
Oh, man, it's not even on my list. Darn it.
I mean, he was the voice we all grew up with.
Absolutely.
And Bill obviously will still be doing pit games, but Bill retiring is number 10. Number 9, Steelers add to the offensive line again with the top two picks in the draft. Number 8. They finally get that middle linebacker. Patrick Queen is number 8. Number 7, there were so many rumors. Oh, Justin Fields would be a fit here. And you said, there's no way Justin Fields is coming here. And Justin Fields came here.
Yep.
That's number 7 story. Number 6, Cam Hayward's unhappy. Wants a new contract. There's a lot of positioning, it seems, back and forth. Number 5, I know some people hate him. They thought all he did was drop passes, but Deontay Johnson was a good receiver for the Steelers, and they traded him without really a guy behind him who was ready to take over. That's my number 5 story. Number 4, Steelers have success with Mike Sullivan and also Eddie Faulkner, but they're not even considered. They go outside and find Arthur Smith as the new offensive coordinator. Number 3, Mike Tomlin's contract extension. I don't know if you heard, he's never had a losing season, and seemingly he's never won a playoff game. Number 2, Steelers get Russell Wilson to be the starting quarterback. And my number 1 offseason story is the man who they gave the reins to, that they drafted in the first round from Pitt, that they traded, not only traded Kenny Pickett, but they emptied the quarterback room, which is so rare to see the entire room gone, but they did, and obviously Wilson and Fields. So those are my top 10 Steelers offseason stories. Mark?
I think we have 3 different, which is kind of surprising.
That's good.
It's kind of surprising. A little mixed up a little bit compared to what I have and what we consider. My number 10 is, as you mentioned, Patrick Queen signing. Not only did they finally get the middle linebacker, the inside linebacker, he's young, and they gave him a good amount of money, but didn't break the bank. He got him under market value. Huge signing. You'd never have thought that was going to happen. Number 9, I put Mike Tomlin signing. I put that at 9 because we all knew it was coming. Maybe I can add in, I'm a little bit surprised it's 3/almost 4 years of a contract, so he's going to be here for the foreseeable future, so we don't have to talk about that for at least 3 more years, right? Number 8, another thing that we saw coming, but still a little bit of a surprise, and I'd ask him, but he doesn't like to talk to us. Najee Harris not getting that fifth-year option picked up. You're using a first-round pick 3 years ago, the 20th overall, I believe. on a running back, and you're basically saying goodbye to him by not picking up his fifth-year option. Number seven.
And you know what's funny about that is I think we all thought that option wouldn't be picked up, and then he had a pretty good year last year, and then you thought, well, maybe it makes sense to do it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Number seven, the Justin Fields signing, because he just came out of nowhere. Mine's a little bit higher up on there at seven because I don't think he will see the field much at all this year. Number six, low-key, but I do believe that we saw this coming. Deontay Johnson was traded for a cornerback.
Jackson.
Oh, I was going to say Dante Scott. Who's Dante Scott?
No idea.
Darnay Scott. Deontay, well, like you said, I think he is. That's a guy that if it's all even, they would love to have on this team, but it's understandable why they got rid of him, mostly because he wanted out. Number five, basically saying, Arthur Smith, you want the job. Finally getting a coordinator that has done it at a high level and it fits into a package of what they want to run and how they want to run it. I don't know. They brought a couple other guys in, but I don't know how serious they were. They were pretty much sold on Arthur Smith. Number four, the absolutely surprising, and this was your number one, Kenny Pickett traded. Who would have saw that coming? Nobody, especially last year this time, right? That was kind of surprising and still talking about it. Russell Wilson with the signing, the old Twitter announcement of Renegade. Russell Wilson, after basically being rumored that want to come here, actually came here and signed, and he's their QB1. Number two, I'm going with the Cam Hayward contract because it.
Wow.
I'm going, that is a big story because at least a couple more months, in my opinion, of this talking. And we're talking about one of the all-time great Steelers who I still believe is a very good player at 35. He's a difference maker. He can play two or three more years. They should sign him. It's unknown whether they won't or not. And my number one story of the offseason, it's going to be a little bit to be determined here, Jeff. That's still that wide receiver two spot open / the Brandon Ayuk can't even make a tweet or wear a Pirates jersey or a cap without people thinking he's coming here. So right now, my number one offseason story is basically nothing has happened yet with the wide receiver two, and that could provide huge consequences down the line.
So what do you think is going to happen there?
I don't know. You see Brandon Ayuk's Instagram page, and he's putting up posts of Washington Commanders practice and Jaden Daniels Heisman trophies. It's a guy that looks like he doesn't want anything to do with the 49ers. So I don't know. I don't think he comes here. I think it will be too expensive the longer they wait, the better off it is for the Steelers. But my number one story is definitely the lack of addressing the wide receiver two position.
So if Brandon Ayuk, is there any concern on your part that Brandon Ayuk would come here and then after a game where he doesn't catch any passes, he starts tweeting how unhappy he is, how he should have gone to Washington, and that, yeah, maybe it sounds great, but that the reality of what he would be might be a distraction.
Yeah, it's hard to say right now because what he's putting on social media is for one thing and one thing alone, and that's to get out of San Francisco because he wants paid. Now, does that carry over into the next place he goes if he gets paid? I don't know. I don't know him personally that to make that decision, but what this team has done over the past couple of years have really gotten rid of any potential quote-unquote troublemakers. You know, guys that don't want to be here, they get rid of. If it's Deontay Johnson, if it's Kenny Pickett asking for a trade, if whoever, even back to, you know, James Harrison wanting out. Now you're going to bring a guy in who is actually trying to force his way out of San Francisco. Now, is that what you want on the team? I'm sure people in Pittsburgh would say, heck yeah. I don't know, but I think this just might be a ploy. This is 2024 NFL players, or athletes in general, of trying to force their way out into a better situation and more money. And they use social media.
We all try to find quick answers in OTAs and mini camps because everybody's asking us, oh, what about this? What about how is this team going to be? The one thing I take from Arthur Smith as offensive coordinator is, and you hear the players telling us this, the crispness, attention to detail, accountability, that seems to be different with the offense. I don't know if that means they're going to score any more points at all, but from a preparation standpoint and how they're doing drills and that focus, all of that stuff, it seems to be at a different level this year.
Yeah, I mean, that, I take that with a grain of salt. Let's see how that translates onto the field. Now, if you're putting up points and
don't believe in the preseason because we're fooled by that last year.
I mean, you think I've been covering the Steelers 22 years that I wouldn't be fooled by the preseason, but I got fooled by Kenny Pickett. You got me good, man, last year. I mean, who wouldn't? But Arthur Smith is going to – I mean, I think it's pretty easy to look at Arthur Smith and look where he came from, look what he's done, and say it's an upgrade over Matt Canada. How much of an upgrade to be able to win? That's why they play the game, so to speak, here. But I think they're in a better spot than they were last year.
One of the most impactful Panthers football players unfortunately passed away. And we're going to relive what Bobby Greer did that made him so special and so courageous. As we continue, Jeff Hathorn, Mark Abali here on the Fan Morning Show at 93.7 The Fan. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Listen to the Starkey Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Neil Walker coming up in a few minutes. Sadly, Bobby Greer passed away on June 30th, just announced yesterday. He's 91 years old, and he played three consecutive seasons where he lettered at fullback, linebacker, and defensive back for the Panthers. He led the team in interceptions and helped Pitt to a 7-3 regular season back in the 54 year. So, the 55 year. So the Panthers that year were picked to go to the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans. And that's when racial segregation was still ramping, was still going strong, sadly. Bobby Greer was a key part of the Pitt team, and they basically said, listen, we're gonna send this to you, but if he comes, you guys can't play. And Pitt got together and said, no Greer, no game. And the support also came from Georgia Tech, who was their opponent, and basically said, listen, if he doesn't play, we don't play. There's no game. Following the game, there was a banquet in New Orleans, and as Greer stepped off the Pitt team bus, there were Georgia Tech players there as well because the hotel only served white patrons. And some Georgia Tech players were there saying, no, he's eating with us. And they allowed him in. And, I mean, you hear about courageous people and people that have dealt with things. And they're, I mean, imagine like the stuff he was dealing with. There was no social media at the time, thankfully, but the threats that he would hear and the courage that he had, and then he went on to the Air Force. He was a supervisor at U.S. Steel and then U.S. Steel, and then was an administrator at CCAC for years. Quite a man to be able to deal with all of that and persevere and help open the door for others.
And put in perspective, this is what? 6-7 years after Jackie Robinson?
Yep.
And still?
Still going.
Still dealing with
in
this?
The South.
It reminded me of Reggie Jackson a little bit. I mean, when he was talking not long ago about all the stuff he had to put up with. And we're talking about, what, late 60s, early 70s there for him. So guys like that are guys that...
John Mitchell.
Yes. I mean, John Mitchell, another one. These are guys that probably don't get enough credit for what they've done. Jackie Robinson obviously broke down the barriers in baseball, but guys like Bobby Grier needs to be talked about in that same light as well.
91 years old. What a life for Bobby Grier. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's the Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. High of 91 today. High of 93 tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.